Welcome to A Day of Prayer. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Together, let's engage in relationship with Christ through prayer, faith, and His Word.
Good morning. You're listening to A Day of Prayer's Morning Bible Study. My name is Promise, and we are so glad you could join us. But before we get into the Word, let's open up in prayer. Lord, I thank you for today, Lord. I thank you for giving us the opportunity to come and get closer to you, Lord. And Lord, we welcome you into our lives, Lord, and ask, Lord, that you give us the opportunity to sow into other people's lives, Lord. And also, Lord, that you show us and guide us to things to come, Lord, and give us your wisdom, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen. Well, good morning and welcome, everyone. We're glad to have you with us and excited to dive back into the Word with each of you in the book of James. This morning, we are in chapter 1, and we'll be covering verses 22 through 27, which is the end of the chapter. So, can I get a volunteer to read that section of Scripture, please?
I will.
All right, Layla.
But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world.
Amen. All right. So as is our custom, the floor is open. Give each of you the opportunity to share what Holy Spirit is speaking and ministering to you. And ask any questions that you have. So who'd like to begin?
I would.
All right, honey.
This might be a strange observation, but I was thinking about this as we were concluding the last section in the previous episode. When we look back to woman in the garden, you know, I think typically we go, oh, they were not as smart as we are. They were dumber than we are. And because we count exposure as intelligence, when the reality is this, I think they were way smarter than we were. And we're the stupider ones on this side because we were born into deception. She was not. Mm-hmm. They were born into truth. Like there was no hindrance and not born, but they were created in Amen. Truth. They were designed and mm-hmm. she was built for a specific purpose. So she was built in truth. She was built in righteousness. She was built in faithfulness. She was built in clarity with absolute unhindered access to God and knowledge of him and relationship with him. And she let the adversary trick her. But he says here, verse 22, deceiving yourselves. Which, I mean, like if you had to compare, someone who deceived themselves is far stupider than someone that was maybe tricked by a third party. Like, you know, if you just think about it for a second. I know right. And so I'm contemplating this with the Lord because it's like, wow. I mean, I already knew that they weren't stupid because, I mean, how can you be foolish or stupid and you're breath to breath with God? But then for us, like how we've trickled down generations of after generation that is in the natural, born into deception. And now the Lord is uncovering our eyes and we're having access to the truth where these ones knew the truth, man and woman. So then it's like, wow, even that and again is a deception in itself. You're so much smarter than they are. You know so much more. And right, even that's a deception in itself. So that we don't have the opportunity or the wherewithal to grasp the truth of the word of God. And it, for me, it makes me go, how much more so do I need the truth of the word of God? Because, man, wow.
Absolutely.
Okay. That was just a little side note, little happening in the mind of Kamisha real quick. Layla, did you have something you wanted to say?
Yes, Mommy?
Okay.
I want to look at verses 26 and 27 first. I know oftentimes we, as the generations have progressed and we look at some of the things done, there's a religious mindset behind it. Like, you know, we have holidays that we celebrate here in the United States, like Christmas and Thanksgiving and Easter. Mm-hmm. And even St. Patrick's Day, even though that has been twisted, they all have been twisted mm-hmm. as time has progressed to be something they were never supposed to be. St. Patty's Day was to, you know, celebrate the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had Thanksgiving was to celebrate the Lord blessing us and bringing food into our refrigerators or pantries or baskets. Christmas was to celebrate the birth of Jesus and the coming of the Messiah who would save us all. Not all of us, but save whoever would come to him. Mm-hmm. He wanted to save everyone, but not everybody wanted to be saved.
Correct.
So that's what that one was about. And then Easter was supposed to celebrate the resurrection of the Messiah. But when we look at those holidays today, Christmas is about giving presents and the Magi, who did nothing for mankind. St. Patty's Day is about debauchery and drunkenness that has less than nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. Thanksgiving is all about the food on your table, but not thanking the one who you know, brought it to you. And it's a little bit sad to see, especially when you go and you look at the kinds of feasts that the Lord instituted and understanding what he wanted done, what his heart was behind each one. It wasn't to steal people's lambs and, you know, take the best of their produce, but it was to remind them, or a natural way for them to remind themselves of how good God is. He was, he still is, and he forever will be. So looking at the religious mindset and tying this back to the Pharisees, you know, it seems a little bit contradictory. They were visiting orphans and widows and tithing mint, anise, and
cumin.
I was about to say cinnamon, but like, no, it's the spice he put in curry. Cumin. They were doing those things. On the surface, they were fulfilling the law. But as she said in the last episode, Mommy, Jesus said, I would prefer that you go and learn what this means to love justice and mercy, and then of course not neglect these things. So it seems like the Lord is going opposite of what we're doing, using the same words, but it's opposite. We say religion is bad, we should not have a religious mindset, and it's true. But what the Lord is saying here, the word religion really means worship. Your serviceable duty, undefiled worship before God and the Father is this. And it's not about doing the surface things, as I just mentioned. The Pharisees, quote unquote, and technically did it all. But it's the heart behind it. It's visiting the orphans and the widows to preach the good news to them, to bring the glad tidings that Jesus brought to us, because we were all orphans. We were all poor.
Gone astray.
Mm-hmm. All needed help. So that's really what the Lord is talking about. And then it's further, like, you know, just driven home to keep oneself unspotted from the world. I mean, that's it in a nutshell. Because if you look at some religions today, they teach everything that's against the Lord. And we hold it up and go, well, it's a religion. They're worshiping a God. But it's not the same as worshiping the true and living God. And it's not the same, not even close to what the Lord said was our reasonable form of worship, which is Jesus said it in the Gospels. Those who come to worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, because these people draw near with their lips. They say all the right stuff, all the lengthy prayers that sound pious, sound holy, but their hearts are far from me. They don't actually have a desire to please the Lord, to love him, to do anything, to honor him. They're just trying to please men. So as we're looking at the word, and as we're looking at the things going on today, we should be sure that we're not falling into that category. The useless running around or doing of stuff that doesn't actually produce life, but we're actually engaging with the Holy Spirit. We're engaging with the Father. We're engaging with the Son, and doing the work he called us to do, that he actually put in front of us to do, not something we concocted ourselves to make ourselves feel better and important and special, which is what many of these religions today are about, making you the center of the focus instead of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. And all those religion, I mean, those not religions, all those holidays that you mentioned weren't designed to make us thankful or la, la, la. The purpose was to bring knowledge of God and awareness of God. Thanksgiving was to bring an awareness that it was God who helped them in that situation. So then they would thank God and know to thank him and understand that thanks and gratitude was in due, right? It was,
yes, Mama.
It was warranted. Christmas was designed, you know, like the premise that the church took behind it was to bring awareness that Christ came and was born so that he could fulfill this purpose, right? And yes, so Mama. Just that one, the difference, that one iota of difference means a totally different outcome and experience.
Yes, Mama.
Because if you think that a holiday is going to make you thank God, you're wrong. It can't do that. It's incapable of it, which is why people go, well, this doesn't quite line up. It doesn't make sense. It's not registering in my spirit. I'm just going to go and give gifts about my family and think about things that I think make me feel special or la, la, la. Likewise, Easter. It was not to make people grateful that Jesus was raised. It was to bring awareness of God sending his son to live a spotless life and to be, and the fact that he was raised to bring awareness and the knowledge of God. And that's what the scripture is for there, right?
Absolutely.
Because a Bible verse cannot make you worship God. It cannot make you appreciate him. It cannot make you live a sinless, spotless life. It cannot make you holy just looking at a scripture in of itself. But the knowledge of God in you now can produce something if that knowledge is received.
And written on the tablet of your heart, ultimately, amen. Right? That's kind of the bridge that ties these two things together.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and by two things, I mean these two sections, right? We did verses 19 through 21, and now we're mm-hmm. verses 22. But verses mm-hmm. 21 and 22,
mm-hmm.
it focuses on the doing, mm-hmm. like it's active, right? And engaging. And that is that relationship, right? First, he says, lay aside, that's a doing, all filthiness, overflow, wickedness, and receive with meekness, right? Humility, the implanted word, which is able to save your souls.
Mm-hmm.
And then he follows it right up in the very next verse again and saying, be doers of the word.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I know some are probably even now sitting there going, but he told us to do in verse 21, but now he's repeating it and saying do again in verse 22, right? So in other words, saying, even if you've done the first thing, you're not complete. This is mm-hmm. active, right? Or as you stated and is read and written to, or what our reasonable service of worship is before the Lord. That also denotes sonship or being children of God, right? Well, I mean, any family that has children, the parent can give instructions all day to help the child.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens if the child doesn't listen? And what is the root cause of that?
Rebelliousness is the root cause of lack of desire to receive the instruction mm-hmm. that's been imparted. That's the root cause.
It's and the root outcome cause.
Is they don't have the help and the aid that they need or desire.
Absolutely. But it also communicates other things. One, a lack of love. Because if they love their parents, they would do what their parent was instructing them to do.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they have godly parents, because godly parents are there to be like their heavenly father and provide what is needed, what will help them, the good and perfect thing. But it also communicates a lack of trust or mm-hmm. faith. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So a lack of love because they're putting self above the love for their natural parents, which should be receiving the instruction from the Lord. So communicates it all the way up, right? And all the way up to our Heavenly Father. But then also, same with the instruction on the faith side. They don't believe their parents. They believe they have a better way. Isn't that exactly what happened with the children of Israel in the wilderness? The Lord was showing them, demonstrating, and communicating with them constantly but they thought they had a better way. They received all those blessings and benefits. But ultimately, they said, no, we don't love the Lord. We don't trust him. We'll worship this golden calf instead and all these other things. But then it was also the aspect of, and as the Lord said, yep, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Mm-hmm. If you love me, you will keep, you will obey my commandments, mm-hmm. Jesus said. Gets right down to the core of it. Mm-hmm. And James is saying, hey, you won't just be a hearer, but you will be a doer of what the Lord is saying. It demonstrates love for the Lord and your trust or faith in him, both now, but also future, your hope in the Lord. Mm-hmm. So instead, for us, it is also active and engaging. And it is our reasonable service of worship. In the same way that we didn't bring ourselves forth in this world, right? But we were knitted together, right? The Lord knitted us together, formed us in the womb, mm-hmm. and had us brought forth through our parents. Mm-hmm. Well, the same thing applies to us today. So we should demonstrate our love and our trust by, yes, honoring our parents, but we're first and foremost honoring the Lord, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
All of it is demonstrating love and faith, which is the currency in his kingdom, because those things are him. He is those things. He is love. Mm-hmm. He is faithful. Mm-hmm. They didn't come from us.
Amen. And these three will remain: faith, hope, and love.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot in there in what was said. So let's pause there for today. Let's allow you to search out the scripture. Allow, first and foremost, Holy Spirit to mm-hmm. minister to you, right? So this word can be written on the tablet of your heart as you grow and move forward in the Lord and in your walk with him. Mm-hmm. And with that, can I get a volunteer to close out in prayer, please?
I will.
All right, promise.
Lord, I thank you for giving us the opportunity to be obedient to your word, Lord. And Lord, we also ask, Lord, that you show us your plan for our lives, Lord. And Lord, we also humble ourselves, Lord, and give you everything we have, Lord, and allow you to lead us and guide us, Lord, so that we may become more like you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen. We love you. God bless you. And have a wonderful day.
Want to know more about A Day of Prayer?
Sign up for our newsletter where you'll get the latest updates on the ministry, inspiring messages, and coupon codes for the merch shop.
Visit our website, adayofprayer.org.
Click on Connect in the menu bar and complete the form.
Be sure to check the box that says Subscribe.
Thank you for listening to A Day of Prayer. We trust the Lord that you are strengthened and encouraged in your relationship with Christ. Visit us on our website, adayofprayer.org, where you can check out our blog, find additional study resources, or shop the official A Day of Prayer store.
Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So until next time, take care and God bless you.